Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Well, did you know that Walt Disney tried to buy the rights to El Cri Cri?
Of course he fucking did, that little snake.
Hi everyone, this is Carmen.
And Christina.
And this is Historias Unknown.
The podcast where we tell you about historias that you don't know.
That are unknown.
Unknown. Or maybe a little known, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe you know more than we do.
Yeah. Today, Carmen, I'm going to be talking about El Cri Cri.
Oh!
Yeah, you remember El Cri Cri, right?
Of course.
Yeah. Well, did you know that Walt Disney tried to buy the rights to El Cri Cri?
Of course he fucking did, that little snake.
And then when he couldn't, he was inspired to create Jiminy Cricket.
I didn't know.
You see the resemblance now? Allegedly. I don't want to get sued by Disney. Allegedly.
You would never financially recover from that.
I would declare bankruptcy and, I don't know, move to the Bahamas where I could never be found by my debtors. Leave everyone I know behind. But yeah, that's what I'm going to be telling you about today. Well, just about El Cri Cri in general, because, you know, I think we might be dating ourselves, but I don't know that. I mean, I'm certainly not showing them to my kids. So I think that he's going to disappear with our generation.
Yeah,
I do believe that. So, I mean, before I go further into it, because maybe some of our listeners don't know, but El Cri Cri is a fictional cricket. He is a singing cricket. He was created by Gabilondo Soler. And I mean, for us, and I think everyone older than us, he is probably the most recognizable singing character in Spanish. I would argue second only to El Cepillín.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say right now.
At least for us, but people older than us, like even our own moms.
El Cri Cri is more popular.
Yes, yeah. So to go a little bit about the creator of El Cri Cri, Francisco Gabilondo Soler was born October 6, 1907 in Orizaba, Veracruz. And he passed away on December 14th, 1999 in Texoco, Mexico. I'm assuming you say the X. I don't know. Texoco. Yeah. Anyway. I don't know. I could be wrong in that pronunciation. I should have looked it up. So he loved to read fairy tales as a kid, especially the Brothers Grimm and Hans Christian Andersen. So, you know, all the dark fairy tales. At age 6, he taught himself to play the piano. It said pianola, and I guess they're not the same thing, but I don't know the difference.
I don't think I've ever heard of a pianola.
Yeah, it's a thing. I just didn't look into the difference between a piano and a pianola. And then I wrote piano and I was like, wait a minute, it's a pianola. Whatever.
Close enough.
Yeah. Sad they have to be similar, right? To be named almost the same.
Yeah.
I guess. So he taught himself to play the pianola. Oh, you know what my notes did? It took pianola and auto-corrected it into piano language. And I was like, why do my notes say piano language? It's supposed to say pianola. Anyway.
He became fluent in piano language.
Fluent. Right. He eventually left school, but he continued to read on his own, learn instruments, just study on his own. At age 21, he tried to enter a university to study astronomy, but due to lack of resources, he didn't finish his studies.
Then he spent time working as a linotypist. So it's a machine used for printing, like way back when. It's like a big machine. He also worked at some point in boxing, swimming, and bullfighting. Like,
like he did those things?
He did those things, yeah.
Wow.
Apparently. So, and then at age 25, Francisco Gabilondo Soler started his musical career by playing outside of bathhouses.
What age, sorry?
25.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Eventually, he worked his way into the local radio station. And then in 1934, he sang his first original children's song, giving birth to El Cri Cri for the first time.
And that was his name, like, right away?
Yeah, I guess he had thought about or had thought of El Cri Cri from a young age. Like, little singing cricket, his name is El Cri Cri.
So he, like, thought of this.
Imaginary friend.
Oh, wow. Branding.
Something. Yeah, because he had always had El Cri Cri in mind. Yeah, and when he got his own station, he started singing just children's songs that he wrote. And El Cri Cri essentially became, like, his second persona almost.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, he just loved this little singing cricket and to sing songs for kids. So he had his own segment on this radio station for 10 years, performing as El Cri Cri. And then he did a random-ass brief stint as a merchant marine from 1941 to 1944.
Wow.
Yeah, super random. And then after, in 1944, when he returned, he created his own radio station. Or sorry, his own radio show. Not a segment, just a whole show as El Cri Cri. He composed a total of 210 songs.
Damn.
That is a lot. Allegedly, his character, El Cri Cri, was so well known that Walt Disney wanted the rights. But Soler declined, saying El Cri Cri was a legacy for Mexican children to enjoy. Because
yes, thank you, Cri Cri.
Yes. Yeah, right.
Sorry, what was his real name again?
Soler, his last name. Gabilondo Soler.
Gabilondo Soler, okay.
Sorry, Francisco Gabilondo Soler.
Pancho.
Yeah, thank you, Pancho. Because I don't know if you've noticed, but when Disney buys something or the rights to something, that thing, its original concept, it disappears and Coco. It becomes. Yeah, it becomes Día de Muertos.
Like how they wanted to trademark Día de los Muertos.
Yes.
Hell no.
Yeah, but it goes way back. Like Winnie the Pooh was a cartoon series before.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Or a movie series. I don't know. It wasn't a Disney character. But if you think of Winnie the Pooh.
Disney
is what comes to mind. What else? There's more things, not just Winnie the Pooh. That's
all
just
I can
the first
think
one.
Of is Coco.
But yeah, Coco, same thing. Like now there's like these kits that they fucking sell, like these Coco Day of the Dead kits. Like,
Or even people put up Coco decorations for Halloween.
Yeah. And then use those same decorations to put into their own altar, their own ofrenda. Yes. And I'm like, the audacity, like, this is disrespectful.
Yeah. High key it is. Yeah.
He wanted El Cri Cri to be Mexican, like a Mexican thing. Because, yeah, if Disney were to have bought it, it would have been known as a Disney character. I 100% believe that. Yeah, I don't even... They would have changed his name to Jiminy Cricket. What? No. Sorry, that leads me to my next point. Allegedly, Disney was so inspired by El Cri Cri, the little singing cricket, that this inspired him to create the character of Jiminy Cricket.
What did Jiminy Cricket come out in again? Was he in Pinocchio?
Yeah, man, Pinocchio.
Okay, I didn't remember for a second.
No, it's, I mean, yeah.
So they just made him up for Pinocchio because Pinocchio is based on the story Pinocchio. Was there no cricket in that?
You know, I don't know enough about Pinocchio, but I guess because he didn't exist before.
Okay, I was going to say, because if there was a cricket in Pinocchio, which actually I don't think there was because I remember reading that. For some reason, mi tía had that book in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Downstairs.
Yeah.
So I would read it, you know, when I was in there. And there was no cricket in Pinocchio. So yeah, they did make it up. Allegedly, they did steal El Cri Cri.
Yeah, allegedly they... El Cri Cri, quote unquote, inspired Jiminy Cricket. just keep laughing at all the allegedlys. But
He did take up Disney's offer to animate Los Cochinitos Dormilones, the singing pigs. Do you remember that song?
No. Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you do. And it is animated. Disney animated it, and you can still find it online. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I watched it, and yeah, it looks like typical Disney animation of the time, but it's pretty cool because it's in Spanish, you know? Mm-hmm. But then it was like an old Disney blog that posted it. I actually found it through the Wayback Machine.
Oh.
Because this blog doesn't exist anymore. But the comments is like, I guess maybe, I'm assuming a white woman that married a Mexican or some sort of Latino. Because in their blog, they're like, oh, my dear hubby was brought to tears when he heard the song when I showed him this animated clip because he remembers El Cri Cri. I'll have to have him translate for me. Like, that's what, like, the blog said. And I was like, ugh. My eyes rolled instantly.
I'm only rolling my eyes because I hate the word hubby.
Oh, no, me too. Oh,
okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, it's fine, like, for people to marry.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I just don't like that word.
Yeah.
It's obviously fine for people to marry whoever they want to marry, okay? And this blog, the comments were like, I don't think Walt Disney would have stolen this character. He would have found a way to give people credit. I'm like, oh my God, you guys are Disney adults. Like, there's no way that...
Only a Disney adult would defend Disney from stealing stuff. They steal stuff all the time.
Yeah, and then that thing is no longer what it was. It's a Disney thing. Like, you're giving Walt Disney way too much credit.
Yeah.
But I thought those comments were funny. So, I mean, I'm sure you remember, but some of the most famous Cri Cri songs were El Raton Vaquero.
Oh, yes.
Iconic, classic. Right?
Remember classic. How our brother would dance?
Oh my gosh, right?
Because he'd be like...
So, let me tell you. So, El Raton Vaquero is a cowboy mouse. And, rat. Raton. No.
It is a mouse because a rat is a rata.
Yes, you're right. Okay, yeah. I'm going to cut that too. Anyway, no.
No, leave it. Bocha.
Rude.
Both of us are bochas, though. So I can say that to you.
Yeah. No, of course. Yeah. So it starts out like there's like a little fake gun. There's like a whistle, like a I can't whistle. And can't whistle either.
I can't do it.
Dude, why are you pretending?
Sometimes I can whistle.
No, I don't believe you.
I can do that. You know, when there's someone hot walking by and them and like,
I'm gonna insert a sound because sometimes I can do it.
Not right now.
And if you hear the whistling sound, it was not me or Carmen.
My lips had to be moist, and this winter it's really harsh.
It's been rough on my skin. Yes. Oh. Anyway, so it starts out with like a whistle, and then there's like pew pew sounds. Not they don't sound like pew pew. They sound like banging gunshot sounds. And so our brother would stand there, pretend to pull the guns out of his pocket, or his like slings or whatever you call them,
holster?
And just like shoot holster, yes, and yeah, pretend to shoot. Like, it was so fun. But that's one of the most famous songs, El Raton Vaquero. There's La Muñeca Fea.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure there's a song called El Cri Cri.
I think there is
the singing cricket. Yeah, it's just called El. Oh my God, what the hell is a cricket in
Grillo?
Yes, El Grillo Cantador. That's the name of the song. El Cri Cri Grillo Cantador. Sorry, I'm fried. Anyway, like my brain, not through substances.
No one says I'm fried, so I understood that.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I also don't know anything about the lingo, so.
I'm fried. Actually, I don't know. People might say that. I don't know anything about.
I just know that.
I've never heard anyone say that.
I mean, I got it from, I had a good friend in the army, Dominguez. She was an Alaskan native. And we would be like, I'm fried AF, and we were like just out of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so La Muñeca Fea is another super popular one. But of course, El Cri Cri is not without controversy.
Why?
Oh, you don't remember. You don't remember El Negrito Sandia?
Oh,
you don't remember
that
song? Yeah. Problematic as fuck. Do you remember La Chinita?
No, I actually don't remember that one.
Okay, La China en el Bo. Oh my God, no, that was the Cepillín.
He had one too?
La Chinita en el Bosque? You know, it was like a little girl lost in the... Yeah. Okay, well, that's going to be another episode.
Oh my God, I don't remember that.
Yes.
Or was there backlash at the time, or is it now looking back?
No, now look, there's not even backlash now looking
it's just
back.
Us.
It's just me. Me looking back at El Cri Cri.
So then it was without controversy.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. So El Negrito Sandia, I wrote La Chinita, but sorry, I think that was El Cepillín, not El Cri Cri.
I don't remember.
Let me just double check that. Let's see. En un bosque de la China. Yeah. Let me click on this. This is probably
Cepillín.
Sorry, yeah, that's El Cepillín.
Look at you, trying to cause drama where there's none.
It's so catchy, though. It's like, la chinita se perdió. Like, you don't remember that?
It sounds familiar now.
Yeah. Like. So, okay, so sorry. That is not El Cri Cri, but let me go back. So, El Negrito Sandía, Negrito Bailarín are probably two of, like, the worst songs. So, to focus on El Negrito Sandia, that song is pretty like listening to it now.
Why does it say Sandia? Why? Why are you even singing about Negritos? Like, knock it off.
Oh, well, I'll get into it in a little bit. But Veracruz is one of Mexico's, it has the highest population of Afro-Mexicans. So, why he's singing about them, I don't know.
He's not an Afro-Mexican.
He's not black, no. He's a Spanish-Mexican. Like, his grandparents were from Spain. So, his grandparents immigrated from Spain, and his parents were born in Mexico, and then he was born in Mexico.
Oh, okay.
But his grandparents are literally Spanish.
So, he's a white Mexican.
Yes, uh-huh. And so, I couldn't remember the lyrics that much, so I did look them up, and let me read them to you. Te contaré la historia muy triste de recordar que trata de un negrito con cara angelical, pero según memoria, al aprender a hablar, salió más deslenguado que un perico de arrabal. Negrito Sandía, ya no diga picardía. Negrito Sandía, te acuso con tu tía. Y mientras ella te va a agarrar, en los cajones he de buscar una libreta para apuntar los garrotazos que te va a dar. Con el palo que utiliza, el castigo te horroriza. Y después de la paliza, me voy a morir de risa. Negrito Sandía, ya no diga picardía, o ya verá.
Oh my God. He's like literally singing about a black child to be physically abused by his aunt, and then he's going to laugh about it.
Yeah, essentially, it's like this black child, this black boy specifically, because I think it's important to note that it is a boy.
Yeah.
Stop saying naughty things or you'll be beaten. I'm going to go snitch to your aunt and she's going to grab her stick and beat you.
And after she kicks your ass, down. I'm going to laugh.
Yeah, that's basically what
God
it's saying.
Damn.
And
I had no idea.
That is bad. Yeah. I remember hearing the song. I don't remember registering.
I honestly don't remember.
It's on his CD. It was on his CDs. Yeah. Because we had like a double disc collection of all his songs. And we used to listen to them a lot. So, but yeah, basically this kid needs to shut up. He needs to keep his mouth shut. He needs to not say bad things or he's going to get it. And it's violent, you know, it's disturbing.
It's like anti-children, anti-black.
Yeah. And
pro-abuse.
Yes. Thousands of kids were happily singing to it because, you know, it was like normal at the time.
Yeah.
Right? But it's controlling or just trying to control what a black child can say and do through violence.
Yeah.
I think I found one article from Remezcla. It's going to be linked in the show notes, but that's where I found someone speaking about like the weird problematic songs from El Cri Cri. But this is the only article. And I was like, wow. I'm surprised that there was not more people. Maybe people just forgot about El Cri Cri. I don't know, which is why I wanted to do this episode because I had another topic.
I think that even if you didn't forget about the Cri Cri, it's like easy to forget about
this song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And especially like as a kid that you listened to them, you didn't really pay attention to the words because it was more about like the catchy song or music.
So it makes sense.
Yeah. And then like our parents probably didn't see it at the time as problematic. Yeah. A lot of parents or yeah, a lot of our like parents that are sorry, people that are our parents' age probably don't see it as problematic now either.
Yeah. Because, you know, racism.
Yeah. And so that's the worst song. There's another song called Le Grito Bailarín. And this one is about a black man dancing and he's kept inside of a box. And so it's basically like Dance Monkey Dance.
Jesus.
It doesn't actually say that. Sorry. I meant like the reference of like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dance for me. Entertain me.
Yeah.
So, and this one is actually. At the time there was Cuban theater performances that travel all over Latin America, including Mexico, and they were called Teatro Bufo. Is that right? Did I write it down? Yes, Teatro Bufo. Yeah, and you can see this. You know the Loteria card and Negrito?
Yeah.
He's a tap dancer from these theater performances. And so that song is just basically like, you know, this wasn't problematic in the sense of like blackface in the United States, yeah, where people painted themselves black to entertain crowds. Mm-hmm. This was basically just, you know, black people being used as entertainment for Mexicans while Mexicans were being racist towards them while they were basically not counted as Mexicans, because let's not forget that black people were not counted in the census until like what?
Recently.
5 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Very too recent, right?
Yeah.
So that's basically why I wanted to mention that one. Because that one, I mean, it's not terrible and it doesn't say anything racist, but it's still terrible.
Yeah, because even if you don't mean for something to be racist, it still can be. And I think that kind of like explains that song.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's one more. This one is called La Negrita Cucurumbe. And this one is actually about embracing black beauty, which is like a pivot, I think, from the other two.
Hmm.
I'll get into it in a little bit. So this song is basically a little girl. She's sad. She wants to paint herself white because she's black. And she wants to paint herself white with the sand in the ocean. And then there's a little fish that she encounters.
Mm-hmm.
And I did listen to this one because I couldn't remember it. But then once I listened to it, I was like, oh, yeah, this actually does sound familiar.
I don't remember it.
I think you'd have to listen to the songs to be like, oh, yeah, I remember skipping this one. Or because there was some that were like, oh, that one's a hit. I'm going to listen to this one again and again. Like El Raton Vaquero.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, I feel like it's easy to not remember or to forget about these songs because they were not like the popular ones.
Yeah. And so this one, the little fish is just telling her she's beautiful just like she is. And this is basically the main part of the lyrics. La negrita cucurumbe se fue a bañar al mar para ver si en las blancas olas su carita podía blanquear. La negrita cucurumbe a la playa se acercó, envidiando a las conchitas por su pálido color. Quería ser blanca como la luna, como la espuma que tiene el mar. Un pescado con bombín se le acercó y quitándose la bomba le saludó. Pero válgame, señor, pues que no ves que así negra estás bonita. Negrita cucurumbe, un pescado con bombín se le... Oh, sorry, that's the same thing. It basically repeats the same part. Que no ves que bonita es tu carita, negrita cucurumbe. So, I mean, this one's just trying to say, you know, you are beautiful. You don't need to change who you are. You know, embracing black beauty. And Soler, he is from Veracruz. And like I said earlier, Veracruz is one of the states with the highest Afro-Mexican populations. And so it's like when I remember Cricri, I don't even think about like some of these were racist songs, mm-hmm. right? He's like beloved by people. I mean, you know, me and you, our parents.
Yeah.
Even our grandparents probably obviously heard him.
Yeah.
And he loved what he did. He loved to sing to kids. It was like his entire life. And he just, you know, he wanted to bring joy. And I don't think he thought his songs were problematic.
Probably right? not.
Yeah. And he wanted to include black children in his songs,
mm-hmm.
too. And so, like, it's And yeah, at the time, they probably weren't seen at all as problematic, even now. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I don't know, I guess important to look at these figures in like a more nuanced way. Like, yeah, some of these songs were like, okay, look at him telling this little black girl, yeah, you are beautiful. But then look at him telling this other, the boy,
to shut up or you're going to get your ass beat.
Yeah. So it's weird, I guess.
It's nuanced.
So yeah, he is loved. He loved Veracruz. Mexico still loves El Cricri. I mean, again, I did mention, I think El Cricri is not gonna be like really known after our generation, but he's cherished by many. But it's important to note that El Cricri is not without faults.
Yeah,
and that's why,
just like everyone,
yeah.
But there's no worse faults then. That's it.
No? No. Just those songs. Yeah. I just saw that Walt Disney tried to buy the rights to El Cricri. And I was like, I want to cover this because I'm reading a book, War Against All Puerto Ricans, for an eventual horrible few topics. So I just want to do some lighthearted stuff that are not as terrible and maybe let us look back at the things that made our childhood in a more nuanced way now that we're adults, you know?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, El Cricri, he is, you know, he is part of history.
And it's not to look back and cancel people, you know?
No,
like,
no.
It's not really, no one really even gets canceled, honestly.
Yeah.
But I think it just shows the anti-blackness and
And it still exists today, obviously.
Yeah, and then the child abuse, and that's normalized mm-hmm. in our culture as well. And in order to change those things or to work towards change, we have to acknowledge them, right? And so talking about this is part of acknowledging that.
Exactly, yeah. Because, I mean, how many of us heard this as kids and thought it was normal? And it's like, no, that was not normal.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's why I went to do this episode, and also because I'm like reading those other two things, and that's gonna be horrible. So
I have a horrible topic lined up also.
Oh, perfect. But yeah, that I guess that brings us to the end of our episode. Do you have anything to add?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, you know, I do. I forgot to do this in the beginning. Housekeeping items. If you want to support Historias Unknown monetarily, we don't have a Patreon, but we do have this thing called Supercast. By the time this comes out, I'm going to have it all set up. And so what Supercast lets you do is access ad-free episodes, any bonus episodes we may or may not do, just because it's a little more time. I think what I want to do for any bonus episodes is kind of like the Clisterio Reyes story, the boy who flew. Mm-hmm. Just short 6-5 minute stories that are like historically where we just put together something like that. And it'll probably be me. But just like one quick story like that instead of two, or even just quick topics. But like, it's probably going to be monthly if we do it, because we are busy AF people. So
yeah.
Bonus episodes are kind of hard to commit to. But I think something like that would be easy and quick, you know. So, but to access ad-free episodes. And it's going to be, I'm thinking, I don't know, what's a good price? Like $3 a month, $5 a month?
I feel like $3.
Three? All right. Yeah. So we'll set it as $3 a month. There's going to be an option to pay annually as well. And so yeah, you could do that through Supercast. It's going to be linked in the show notes. And also, I forgot to mention, but so with Patreon, you have to make a Patreon account, and you have to like log into your Patreon to access all the bonus stuff.
A lot of work.
It's a lot of work. With Supercast, you set up your account in two clicks. You are getting all the ad-free stuff and the bonus episodes straight to Spotify. It's the only ones that works with Spotify too, because Patreon, it lets you copy like an RSS feed, and you're supposed to put that into whatever podcast player to get all the ad-free episodes or bonus episodes of whoever you support. It's so much work, right?
Sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, and you get that, and that's how you get them. But it doesn't work with Spotify, and this one does. And most of our listeners are actually on Spotify. So.
Oh.
So I figured it was the easiest way to do it. And yeah, you get, after you sign up, two clicks, you're set. Everything goes straight to Spotify. You don't have to do anything else. You don't ever have to log into anything else unless you want to cancel, right? Because that's fine too. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just another way to support us if you want to. If not, just listen. That's great too.
Yes, that's always great.
But yeah, that is all I had.
All right. Well, thank you for listening, everyone. And let's not be Disney adults, okay? I'm just kidding. I fully support whatever you want to enjoy. But they're sometimes a little weird.
I mean, yeah, I think it's okay to like something and to say, hey, this corporation kind of sucks. Like, that's fine. And that's what a lot of them don't do. Like, these people that were trying to defend Disney buying El Cri Cri and then still giving him credit. Like, he wasn't going to do that. There's no way.
No.
So, yeah. You can like things, but also criticize them.
Yeah. Talk shit.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye, everyone.